Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everyone doing? You guys are doing well. Hi. How was everyone's Halloween? I love Halloween so much. This is my favorite time of the year. It starts in October and through the new year. I just love this time of year. And also, I love Snapchat on Halloween because it has so many fun filters. So I got crazy this year. Instead of like putting all the work into a costume, I just went on Snapchat and did like a million different filters for Halloween. So it's so much fun to do it at this time of year. So I try to make it as fun as possible. I'm excited for my show today. I have Emmy Award winner Issei on, and he's formerly known as the actor Kiko Ellsworth. And he's going to join me out here in just a few moments. I'm really excited to talk to him. For my regulars, I want to give a big shout out. Thanks for listening to me each week. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your emails and telling me how much you love the show. So that makes me super happy. For those of you who are new tuning into my show for the first time, I want to say welcome. Just quickly, a little bit about me. I am an author and a photographer, and I have a book out there. I'm working on my second book now, but my first book is officially out there, and it's titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, I share 30 manifesting stories along with the photographs that I took of the contributors manifesting postcards. And in my book, I like to include writing exercises because it helps us get clear on what it is we want to manifest. And in there's also a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest in, you know, the major areas that we always want more of, which is love, money, health, career, abundance. So there's just so much in there. So if you guys are interested in doing these inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation and manifesting and inspiration, you can go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. And I'm also always asking for people to keep sending me manifesting postcards. If you want to know how to do one, if you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, on there I tell you how to create a manifesting postcard. And if you're on Facebook, you can join me on my public Facebook group, Postcards of Love, where we share uplifting stories. So in honor of Halloween and witches and magic, this week's magical message, which I try to put out every week, and its corresponding image is inspired by the word Avra-Kedavra, meaning I will create as I speak. And the word's origin is an Aramaic phrase, and from it we have gotten the word abracadabra. And you guys hear, you know, magicians use it a lot in their acts. But hundreds of years ago, people actually believed that abracadabra was a magic spell. Now, if you think about it in terms of manifesting, it makes perfect sense. I will create as I speak. So I read this from a fellow mystic and transformational speaker, Nayarka, and thought it was a perfect description. I is the authority to evoke, i.e. call forth, and attract the essence of that which you envision. When you say I with awareness, you embody your I am presence. You attune with your divine nature. Create is your power to focus your imagination and thought into purposeful action. Speak is your supreme influence in action. It's how you consciously direct your thoughts, language, and actions to produce desired results. When you speak, you translate the pictures, sounds, and feelings into your mind's eye, your imaginings, into manifest reality. And I couldn't have said it better myself. It's something to think about. So be very careful of the words that come out of your mouth, because what you are doing is creating what you speak. Abracadabra. Now, next week, I have my guest, my returning guest, Reverend Gregory Possman. You guys know that I love when Gregory's on. And for those of you who don't know, he's a psychic trance channel, and he channels over 40 light beings, including Sananda, archangels, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel, as well as master teacher spirits. And Gregory performs workshops throughout the world and offers recorded channeled private sessions. And when he's on, he always channels live on the air. So stay tuned for that next week. Okay, now to get to my guest today. Issei is an aka Kiko Ellsworth, is an Emmy Award winner, inspirational speaker, and men's self-mastery coach, who's the founder of the Divine Man Self-Mastery Coaching Program that trains individuals and teams alike to perform as their highest self-fulfilling mission. And he says, once you have you, you have everything. Issei has created hundreds of programs, courses, workshops, classes, seminars, virtually and in person. He's given keynote speeches on stage with the likes of world influencers, thought leader and luminaries such as Jack Canfield, Lisa Nichols, Jim Quick, Mike Koonings, and many others, as well as speaking live on stage to over 10,000 people. Whether it's a keynote speech, a leadership optimal performance training program, a movie, or any combination thereof, Issei specializes in creating customized transformational experiences that not only gives participants powerful personal development tools and life-changing concepts, but also lights them on fire from within. So if you want to find out more about him, you can go to the divinemancoaching.com website and you can see all about him. Welcome, Issei. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Melissa, thank you for having me. God bless you. I love you. Viewers, I love you. What is happening? Hi.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm really excited, and I love the Divine Man. I love that you're talking to men specifically. I mean, obviously, you're talking to everybody, but to men specifically about how to get in touch with their own, personal power, and growth. Because I don't think men sort of in this industry that we're in get enough attention in that area. Would you agree?
Yeah, there hasn't been in the past a space for men to feel the emotions that we have within us, and then they get stuffed and set aside, and then we wonder why we explode like volcanoes and we behave the way we behave. But we're very, very sensitive, and we have a lot of trauma and pains and things that we need healing as well too. And now there's a lot more groups and programs and men that are coming out of the dark closets, if you will, and, expressing that, their pain, and they're sharing with other men. And, these spaces are being created, and I'm so just proud and honored to be a part of it, because I struggled my entire life never feeling like a man or a whole being. I've always felt disconnected with myself. So it's good to be a part of the support that's helping men to be whole, healthy, and happy again.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, look at what, boys get the message very young, like big boys don't cry, right? So they're taught so early, like to be a man, you have to, you have to like hide your emotions if you're feeling sad or if something makes you want to cry. We're women, we're encouraged, we talk to each other, we call our girlfriends, we cry on the phone, and men don't do that. So I love that there are more things that are being created to show men it's okay to tap into your emotions, because it's going to make them a better rounded person, and then they're going to have better relationships if they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been a part of so many men's groups and programs, and just to let everyone know, we men cry a lot now. Like there's so many men that are not afraid to cry anymore, and I know that there's still another narrative out there that still says, men don't cry and all that stuff, but that's really going bye-bye, because it's just not healthy for men. And there's a lot of men that are realizing, wow, it's okay for me to feel these emotions, to cry, to say what's really on my heart, to be vulnerable, and that there's a strength that actually comes along with it. There's a new male archetype that is arriving again in the world, that is a heart-centered man that that is connected to his spirit, to, you know, has a disciplined mind. He has a healthy emotional world in his body, and that can actually be a healthy person to be around. Like, women and children and other men can actually feel safe around him. And that's like a new thing. Like, there's a man that we're learning how to heal ourselves so we're not self-destructive. And then therefore, you know, women and children and whoever else is around us can actually feel safe. And then therefore they can trust us.
I love that. So before we delve in deeper into this, I want to talk a little bit about your background. So sure. You're an actor. You've been in movies. So what made you want to get into acting and share a little bit about what you've already done in Hollywood?
Sure. Well, what really got me into acting, I got forced into it, but when I got on the stage this one time, I had stage fright. It was horrible. I remember exactly what happened. I was at Bobby Shaw's acting class, and it was a Thursday night showcase. So this was supposed to be the best of the best for that class, right, that week, the showcase, you know, night of the week. And so there's producers and directors and, you know, agents and managers there say, oh, who's the actor that I'm going to, you know, make a star, so to speak, right? And so I remember I'm on stage and I'm facing to my right. And so the audience is to my left, and I'm trying my best to say these lines to this actress that's, you know, she's on the stage with me. And I remember the lights are just blaring in my face. And I just feel like these big hands closing on my throat, and I'm talking and I'm saying the lines like this, and I'm talking all breathy. And then my teacher and my acting coach, she's like, cut, cut, cut. She's like, Kiko, what are you doing? She's like, just talk, just say the lines. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm trying to say the lines, but they're not coming out. And I'm just feeling the heat of the audience burning on the left side of my face, and I'm sweating. So that scene was over with. You know, they applaud. I get my little fake smile. I, you know, get off the shuffle off the stage real fast. And I beat myself up. I curse at myself. I say, this is not okay. This is not me. This is not what I really said was, that wasn't the truth. Those were the specific words that I actually said after the little cursing parts of myself. I said, that wasn't the truth. I had a really big problem with not being honest with myself, with not presenting myself in an authentic way. And from that point forward, that's when I really committed to it. I said, okay, this whole acting thing, it's personal. It's gonna be you and me putting on the gloves, and we're gonna go toe to toe. And so that's how I really got into it, and then it just really exploded from there. And a little secret, in my opinion, about the entertainment industry, it's like a magnifying glass. And what's truly there in your heart or in your soul, what you haven't worked out or what you have worked out, whatever's really there, your inner landscape of who you are as a person, it's just going to start to subtly magnify that, right? And so I didn't have at that time, you know, a really spiritual foundation. And so over the next like 7-8 years, it really magnified those gaps and those issues, those problems, that instability, how unstable I was at that time. And so, you know, I had to walk away from it. And so I walked away from it. I dropped all my agents. I was kind of at the peak of my career, but I was really, you know, kind of spiraling down. Right. And I walked away, and I just went on the journey to find my soul.
And that's how you started this kind of work that you're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So in short, really, I stopped looking outside of me for validation or to build something outside of me. And I started looking within and started spending just as much time on my inner world as I did on my outer world. So I started meditating. I started, you know, taking Kundalini yoga classes, breath work. I started learning about myself on the inside, and I started to get somewhere. I started to feel good, you know, and, you know, I spent the next decade or so navigating and building my inner infrastructure, if you will. And until you know, you still do it. It's never, that work is never done. It's the best work ever. Just cultivating your inner world and learning who you truly are.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. No, that work is never done, but you went back, right? You're back in acting now, correct?
Yeah, the funny thing about it is that I did not go back. It actually came to me this time.
Law of attraction at work, right? When you're ready, it shows up. Yep.
I knew that it would always be a big part of me, but I had to have the power and belief in myself to walk away and to really depend on myself, not like something else that was validating me. So, you know, the last couple years is when it really started coming back. I got, you know, offered a couple of movie roles and things like that. And, you know, and I realized, like, you know, this is, it's now really helpful for the entertainment to be in my life. Because now there's no way, like, I was totally corruptible back in the day. You know, it just spun me and I would just spin with it. But now that I had the most amazing, like, I just did this film. It's called Alone Today with Eric Roberts. Shannon Elizabeth, Frank Whaley, and Wendy Wilkins as the director, and some other people in there. Danny Trejo as well.
Okay.
And so I remember one of the most amazing, I had two amazing experiences on that set, but one of the most amazing experiences that has to do with this was, you know, on a lot of these sets, there's a lot of drama, and there's divas, and like, oh my, like, cappuccino didn't have the swirl, and there wasn't a night, and this is, I need an extra $10,000, you know, like, just drama.
Yeah.
You know, so there was, I remember the first day I got on set, there was like just drama like that, and people yelling and drama and this, that, the other, and people are scared and this, that, and the other. And I walk on set, and it's literally because I've done, you know, now mind you, this is after I've done this, like, sort of spiritual work. I've, you know, got a hold of my soul I walk on set, and it's been like over 10 years, and I see the drama. You know, I can, in a sense, I can feel it outside of me, but it's like I'm walking in this bubble. Mm. It's like this bubble of protection, and nothing is rocking me off my center. It's like my heart is stable. There's peace in my heart. I'm still happy. And it's like people are freaking out, and every now and again, I say, hey, just, and I put my hand on them or something like that. And I say, hey, just breathe. It's okay. And they'd be like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And I'm like, all right, just breathe. And it's just like, you know, just to not be affected by the drama, you know, by doing the inner work was such a gift, you
and
know, to not be swayed.
Yeah, and that's important for everybody, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
But we're going to take our break. Let's take our break here, and we'll be back, and we'll continue the conversation. Guys, stay tuned. I'll be back in like 2 minutes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, We know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. So if you're just joining me, today I have Emmy Award winner Issei, formerly known as the actor Kiko Ellsworth, with me, and we're talking about the divine man. So Issei, before we start getting more into that, what is your dream role? Do you have a dream role that you would love to do?
You know, I kind of, well, the one I just did with the movie that I just finished was one of my dream roles, actually. And the dream role, broadly speaking, is where I can do a little bit of everything, where I can kind of be a bad guy, but then also have that bad guy transform and have him turn into, he can redeem himself, you know? So the darker, the better. And then, because I feel like it's the more you pull like a slingshot, the more you pull it into the dark, the more it can slingshot into the light, right? So yeah, that's the dream role that I would want to play, and that's the one actually that I just played as well too. I can't spoil it too much, and I kind of did a little bit, but like it's that bad, because you know I can't go kill anybody in real life.
That would be fun. Like, I think playing a bad person would be a lot of fun, right? Because you get to act it out.
It's amazing. I mean, just shooting. I'm like, when I was in Bad Boys 2, shooting the guns and shooting at Will, shooting at Martin, and the fire and the guns, and just, cause when do I get to do that? Like, I don't get to do that, you know? So it kind of gets like a little release out for me, at least.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. Actually, oh my God, that's what I would love to do if I was an actor, play bad roles. Do you have like a very memorable experience on a movie set? Like something?
Oh,
that,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
What?
I keep going back. It's interesting because the most memorable ones are the ones that just happened this year, actually. So same movie, Alone Today. And, you know, I was Eric Roberts. I was about to do this scene with Eric Roberts. I was about to pull out a gun on him because I'm the quote unquote bad guy in the film and everybody's afraid of me, right? So, but before my scene with him, I'm talking to his personal assistant. So I'm like kind of like sitting in a little green room, and his personal assistant is like a kid. He's like, you know, 20 years old, little Caucasian kid, kind of nerdy and kind of like nervous energy, you know, like that sort of type.
Yeah.
And so mind you, like, you know, I've already, you know, done my yoga, and I'm like, I just love the breath work, and I've already had, so we start talking about that sort of thing. So I see this nervous kid, and so I just start naturally talking about breathing and kind of teaching him some things. So we talk like, you know, 45 minutes, and there's like another kid there, and it's a really great conversation. So then I have the scene with Eric Roberts about like an hour and a half later. And so his role, this kid, his role, what he does for Eric is that Eric, like, let me say something about Eric. Eric, if you go on the IMDb, like, Eric Roberts has so many films that he's doing concurrently. He literally is probably doing about 20, 25 films at the same time. He probably has about, like, 20 or 30 in development. So just giving you, like, an idea, there's no way that he can memorize all those lines, right? So he has this kid to actually literally hold up these big cue cards for him, right? So Eric will be looking at me, right? And then little kid will be standing about 10, 15, 20 feet behind me with these big cue cards so Eric can actually remember his lines. Right. So that's kind of like one of his jobs, right? So anyway, we're in this scene, and I'm leaning up against this Eric's car, actually, and he's about to come out this liquor store, and I'm about to pull a gun on him, say my lines, do all this bad guy stuff. And then this kid before the scene, he runs. Now he goes, he runs because now he's going to run behind me, right, and hold up those cue cards for Eric that's going to be looking at me so Eric can see him. And, you know, the director's like, quiet on set, everyone settle. And then this kid runs back there to get in position. And he trips over the C-stand and makes all this noise. It's like, pom, pom, pom. And everyone's just like, no one says anything. God, but everyone just like kind of puts their hand on their head and just like, oh, the Homer thing, right?
Yeah.
And so naturally, I look over my left shoulder, you know, when this happens to like see what's going on. And this kid, he doesn't look at the director. He doesn't look at Eric. He doesn't look at anybody. This kid like makes eye contact directly with me, and he puts his hand on his belly because we talked about breathing and breathing low and slow, and you maintain that glow if you breathe in the belly when you go through stressful situations. He just put his hand on his belly. Nothing was said, made eye contact with me, and I felt so useful.
Right.
More useful than I was in that role. Like that made a difference in this kid's life, where he usually would have freaked out and you know, probably beat himself up and guilty, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he did. He was able to find his center again. Like that was the most fulfilling and memorable moment for me on that set. You know, having that reaction from that kid.
Yeah, because you showed him something so young, right, to learn how to center himself. And that's really important because a lot of us don't learn a lot of this stuff until we're much older, right?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we don't get that young. So when's the movie coming out? Do you guys have a release date or are you not?
There's not a release date. Yeah, not just yet. It's probably going to be like the summer of 2023, right around there. And I think it'll go like to a Netflix or an Amazon. It's sort of stream online. But it's called Alone Today. Yeah, it's a film about domestic violence, child trafficking, things like that, and spreading awareness and the empowerment in that. And there's some magic that also happened and like towards the end of the film, that the scene that I got to be a part of. And I just, you know, so when you watch the film, just make sure you hang in there to the last. I mean, it's a good film anyway, no matter what, but like there's some real magic that happened at the end, the last scene of that film too.
Well, it sounds really interesting. Well, I wish it a lot of success and you a lot of success in it. That sounds really good. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure I watch it when it comes out. So, you talk about, and I thought that this was a really interesting quote, and I guess this is your self-manifesto or you live by this, is once you have you have everything. And what does that mean? Because a lot of people are probably like, what is he talking about? Once you have everything. Can you share that a little bit with us?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like a lot of people and also most men, you know, I struggle to, if you want to say, be a man. I struggle to just be myself. I grew up very shy, afraid, like of my dad and people pleasing and not having an opinion about things, not even knowing that I didn't have an opinion, and just really, you know, living more for like the outside world. And it's like I really sacrificed me on the inside. I didn't know really what I liked. I didn't know really what I didn't like. It was like I was just kind of the shell, and I really didn't have a hold of me like on the inside. So, you know, but over the years, you know, after doing this inner work and the spending, listening to my intuition and figuring out what that is, and really learning many years what loving myself actually look like day to day, because it changes. You know, it has everything to do with like hearing your intuition and hearing your needs and hearing your desires and then acting on them, you know, without hesitation, in my opinion. You know, I was able to get a hold of myself. And after really getting a good hold of myself, I said, wait a minute. Wow. Like, this is me. I can do something from here. You know, it's almost like you have this recliner chair, right? This you're sunbathing. It's like you're reclining in the divinity, in the beauty of yourself. It's like I went from running around trying to do all this stuff, trying to, be something that I wasn't, trying so hard to get people to like me, trying to say the right thing, you know, walking on eggshells.
Right.
I went from this person that was trying to do all this stuff and had all this energy to like finally getting a hold of me. And then I finally just relaxed. I stopped doing all that stuff.
Right.
And I just, and from that place of having yourself, like you relax into like your own recliner of you. And from that place, that's where our love is. That's where our power is. That's where we can truly manifest. We can truly choose. We can choose what we say. We can choose the spells that come out of our mouth, you know, choose the words. We can choose how we want to respond to something instead of just reacting all the time, you know, from that place of having a hold of ourselves. So that's the, what that means really, you know, once you have you, you know, once you have a hold of you, you have everything, because we, like you say, we create everything. But if we're on automatic, you're not really creating because you're not even there. Right?
Right.
But when you have you, you can actually create.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue, because you talk about, you know, how to reclaim ourselves from our guilt and our shame and self-abuse, and how do we love the worst parts of ourselves and our life. And you coach a lot of men on that. So can you like kind of like elaborate on that? Say you're walking around and you're somebody who has a lot of guilt and shame, and, you know, and they're self-abusing and they hate themselves. And when they look in the mirror, they say the worst things to themselves. And I imagine, I mean, we, you know, from women, I know what we say to ourselves, but men, I have no idea what men say to themselves, you know, when they look in the mirror, if they carry around a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for asking that. You know, that it's almost like if you picture a circle, right? Mm-hmm. And typically it's 360 degrees. You go full circle. But usually when we get caught up in the guilt and the shame, it's like we're only going 180 degrees around that circle, when the whole objective is to bring it full circle. And usually we get stopped right there. And so when we get caught in the guilt and the shame and, you know, beating ourselves up, you know, we're missing out on a whole aspect of ourselves. There's everyone has such deep wisdom. Everybody on this planet has wisdom to share, you know, but wisdom comes from experiences, and it's not just good experiences. And mostly, in my opinion, it comes from all experiences, especially the challenging ones, especially the ones that knock you down time and time and time and time again, and you finally got it. Like, and being able to, in those situations, many of us get caught up in the guilt and the shame, and that kind of stops us, and we get caught up in that cycle. But when we're able to like really look at those situations and say, wait a minute, there's, yeah, this challenge happened, but what was the real lesson that I learned? What was the spiritual lesson? What was the soul lesson? What did I really, you know, extract from this? When I really look at it deeper underneath the surface, what did I really learn with this? And when we start to look in,
that's what your training is, right? Don't you have some? It's called the Soils of Wisdom, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're
part exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a part and part of the same. Yeah, exactly. So when you're able to transmute those situations and really see the lessons, we start to extract our own wisdom from these challenging situations that we used to get caught up in by beating ourselves up. But we start to learn how to bring them full circle. We start to, you know, unpack them and really extract our wisdom. And then once we learn how to do that, we literally, that's the only reason why I'm able to support my brothers or even sisters or couples, because I go across the board. That's the only reason why, is because I made so many mistakes, but I cleaned them all up. I wasn't present in my marriage. I was a fractured man. I was emotionally disconnected. I didn't know how to be a father the first 5 years of my daughter's life. Mm-hmm. I didn't get caught up in the guilt and the shame of it. I can talk about it, but that's the reason why I can support men, because I looked at it and I figured it out. Like, oh, okay, this is where I need to make adjustments. This is what I need to do, is fill in these gaps. And that's the only reason why I can serve the way that I can serve this day, is because they were transmuted. They were alchemized to turn that dirt into gold.
Yeah. I love that. Alchemy is another one of my favorite words. Well, I like the fact that you say it, because people can relate to you, especially men, because you've been there, right? So you can say, well, I was here and I made these terrible mistakes. I mean, do you want to share what one of your biggest mistakes was and how you transformed that into wisdom with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
okay,
well, I mean, one of the ones, really, I'll kind of dive in just a little bit deeper. One of the ones is my marriage, you know, that I kind of touched on just now. You know, she always would say to me, you know, I don't have the combination to your heart. It's like my heart was on lockdown. You know, it wasn't available to her, and it wasn't available to me. You know, and I was very, very fractured and emotionally disconnected. And I just had never experienced, you know, how to be able to give of myself, how to see the value in someone else. But first, I have to see the value in myself. So my entire marriage, I was mostly unconscious, if you will. I was, you know, and when someone's unconscious, it can be very abusive because we don't know what we're really disconnected from. We kind of behave in a way where we're almost like we're blind emotionally, we're blind spiritually, and we're knocking in the walls and we're knocking people over and we're knocking things. And, you know, a lot of my unconsciousness really hurt. It did a lot of damage to my former wife. It did a lot of damage. It did damage to, you know, being disconnected. It did damage to, I destroyed friendships, you know, but, you know, really specifically with regards to the marriage, you know, and then we had a completion ceremony. It wasn't a divorce. We had a completion ceremony. You know, how I was able to really alchemize that was, you know, I remember her and I, we were sitting on the couch after we had completed, and we both had our phones, and we were kind of on both dating apps. So we kind of become like brother and sister at that point. But then at a point, it felt like it was inauthentic for me. And because I really thought about it, I said, you know what? I still have this relationship here with this woman. There's still pain here. I'm like, how am I going to authentically give my attention to a new female when I still have this female right here next to me who I know there's still damage that I haven't fully, fully cleaned up? I still have this daughter that I'm still not fully connected to. How can I really be on this dating app and give my attention to another female? I said, you know what? I'm going to put that aside. And I started really working on my relation with my former wife and healing that and giving her my blessing so she could actually move on and find love somewhere else. And me pass on the torch, because one day she came to me. One day she came to me like about a year later, and she was, you know, dating this guy, this man.
Wait, before you tell the story, because I really want to hear the story, because I don't want to cut you off in the middle of it. So let's take a break now, and then we'll come back, because this is really important, guys. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back. So, Issei, I was thinking during the break, I love the fact that you were conscious enough to say, before I bring somebody else in to my life to date in a romantic level, I need to clean this up with my ex-wife. And what an example for your daughter, right? I mean, my God, that's, you know, kids learn by watching their parents, not what they say, it's what they do. So I'm going to let you finish what you were talking about. You were talking about, you know, your ex-wife a year after when she started dating somebody. So go ahead.
Yeah. Just to back it up just a little bit, to give a little more context and specificity to the viewers. You know, I was, you know, so fractured as a man. There's so many of us men. Like, I want to really paint a picture. Men are not just mean and logical. There's most of us are truly, deeply hurt, and we've been covering it up for so long that it just, we think that that's who we are. And then you think that that's who we are. It's not us. We should be asking for help. We don't know that we can. We need to know that there's safe spaces out there so we can start to unpack our emotions and let this stuff out. So that said, you know, with my wife, you know, to give a little more specificity, you know, I remember there was a time when she was pregnant. She was pregnant with our daughter. And she would be asking me for things and kind of like saying things and saying she was in so much pain. And I remember like standing there looking at her on the couch. And I didn't know how to be empathetic. I didn't know how to say, well, let me rub your feet. Let me get you something to rub your, you know, get a towel on your head. There was a part of me was so fractured that I didn't know how to. And then I would just retreat into my garage studio, and leave her. I leave her, abandon her. I didn't know how to show up, and so many of us men just don't know how to show up for first ourselves, so we can then show up for somebody else. And then, so when we finally had our completion ceremony, and then a year after that, she came to me in the garage studio, and she said, will you give me your blessing so I can actually give my heart to this man? Because she was kind of stuck. And so we had an impromptu completion ceremony at that particular point in time, because I love my sister. You know, before anything, she's my sister. You know, my daughter is my sister first. I go by this sort of theory of divinity before humanity, and like we're all divine brothers and sisters first before we, you know, play these human roles. So like I really did relate to her, and I still do relate to her strongly as my divine sister. And of course, I want my sister to be loved. I want her to be romanced. I want her to be cared for. I want her to be taken care of. You see what I'm saying? And I want her to be loved. So I passed the torch on it. So I gave her my blessing. And when I literally gave her my blessing, this was probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, tears. It was like we were thrust on a stage of being graduated from like a university college. And there was like five emotions all at once, Melissa. It was like we were in awe. We were crying. We were joyful. We were scared, like all at the same time. And it's like, yeah, I love you. And no, I want you to be great. It was amazing. And literally, that's when like spirit or soul, whatever it was, like filled my body. But what I got, I understood, I had the experience of what love was, because what I was doing when I look back, I realized that I was giving to her, wishing her love and goodwill with all of my thoughts, all of my feelings, and all of my actions. All of my thoughts, all of my feelings, and all of my actions were wishing her love and goodwill. And I didn't want anything in return. I just wanted my sister to be loved. I wanted her to be healed. I knew that I couldn't do it, and I needed to bless her. And I wasn't expecting anything, and I got blessed. And I experienced love for the first time within myself. And that's when I became a man, right there in that moment. That's when I stayed into, because that's when I connected with my heart.
I love that so much. Oh, my God. You know, I wish that before people could get married, we could have these coaching experiences, right? Before we get into that committed relationship, like men could have it with someone like you, women could have it, you know, also with someone like you, maybe geared for women, you know, really learning how to be in a relationship, because we just don't, we just don't know. We take all of our childhood stuff into the relationship and wonder why it doesn't work out. And I know exactly. And the more work I did, because after my divorce, I was definitely with somebody who is unconscious and probably still very unconscious. But as I grew, I realized that it wasn't the abuse is, it wasn't, he wasn't abusive because of, you know, he was a bad person. He's abusive because he was abused as a child and he's unconscious. Right. He's an unconscious right. person. And that helped me let go of a lot of it, of my anger and resentment, right? When I realized that, like when the light bulb went on. So these things are really important. And is this why you made the choice that you wanted to coach men? Is this a reason? Is it one
well,
of the reasons?
I mean, that's part of it. You know, I mm-hmm. let me just put like, I'm kind of like with the coaching thing, like I really focus on men, but like mm-hmm. I have a whole tribe and I'm sort of a swinger in the sense. Sometimes right. I started off working with women for a decade and a half, from 2003 until like 2018. I was working with women and females empowerment. And I was the vice president of a domestic violence nonprofit. I was really focused on that. And then I also, you know, we work with couples as well, especially getting into mm-hmm. relations and how to, I still do yeah. that. But the reason why I really lead with men, you know, what I, cause I was, you know, I was kind of like I said, swinging, but I really, the reason why I lead with men is because mm-hmm. I realize when we think about the home, the structure mm-hmm. of the home and when you have a well-balanced home, but what does it take? Mm-hmm. What does it take to make a well-balanced home? See, the dynamic that we're in right now, if I'll say this briefly, in the home is that men, it's like if you think about yin-yang, men, we don't know how to show up in a healthy way right now. We're very fractured, right? So right. we don't know how to fill the space properly. And what happens is that puts the female into like a traumatic state. So she overdoes it and she fills yeah. too much space. And so she takes up masculine space. So now the whole home is completely lopsided. The structure is completely lopsided. Now you have the kids that are experiencing a masculine mother and a father that's resenting the mother because she's taking up too much masculine space, but he doesn't know how to take up his proper space because he's told that he wasn't supposed right. to cry his entire life.
Right.
So you have
right.
this lopsided house. Yeah.
Right.
So I realized I really had to think about this. I said, you know what, wait, if I really focus on the man, that balance will come back. That structure will imbalance will come back into the house. And then from that will have the trickle down into the children. They'll see balance with their parents, just like you were saying. And then from there, that will, you know, expand out to the tribe, to the community, to the nation. I was like, okay, I need to really focus on leading with the fathers because that will cure the balance of the home. And from there, like, I think that will radiate out into the rest of our world.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love that so much. That's why I really was excited to talk with you today. Because I do think that men, you know, I mean, I think they kind of get a raw deal when we're talking yeah. about in the area of deep emotions. You know, I mean, obviously in other areas, you know, especially right. white men, you know, they've had a few steps up. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm, but I think in the area of emotions, men aren't being talked to and helped, and it's only going to help the whole, like you said, eventually the whole world, as it starts with yourself, it goes to your relationships, it goes to your children, it goes to your tribe, it goes to the community, and so forth, right? We know this. So, yeah, I think it's, like, really important work. And I know that you have a free Divine Man Masterclass, correct, that people that can check out if they really want to? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a free Divine Masterclass at my website, thedivinemancoaching.com. And we also have a men's event, in-person event coming up actually too in December, I think December 2nd. So if you're in Los Angeles area near Joshua Tree, it's out in Joshua Tree. We have an in-person event as well too. So we hit it from every angle. Like I do personal coaching, we do in-person events, and then we also have like the online sort of thing. So we just, cause it's something that we have to hit from every single angle because it's just, we're building a new world here and it takes all of us and everybody needs the healing. So, but yeah. And my social is A Divine Man. I'm on the TikTok and the Instagram, so I can be reached pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. So if you're listening, people are listening and men are listening and they're saying like, well, what coaching, like how do you work with them? Like, what does it look like for them?
Well, like I said, there's a divine man in every single man. And so it's really about us. I might be off to the left. Someone might be off to the right. Someone might be up and two down low. But it's all about always finding a way to come back to our center. And so, you know, getting someone in touch with who they truly are, like different practices, seeing what's taking us off, seeing how we've actually built ourselves, seeing our process. So we first see how we've created the person that we are, and we accept it. We just, but we look at it. We have to see, who am I right now? What are my beliefs? What do I think a man is? What do I think what a woman is? You know, because we start to unpack these things and we start to see what our true thoughts are. And then we start to see, okay, let's start to convert these. Let's start to build a new structure. Let's start to create this new identity of this divine being, because everyone is a divine being. Everyone, but not many of us relate to the divine being within us, the magic within us. So when we start to really spend time crafting this image, this archetype, this divine being of who we are, right, and we start to reconcile who we've been, we start to naturally move into this divine being, because that's who we truly are. And so what I help men to really take the time to reconcile who they've been and to clean up their messes. And I give them instruction on how to do this sort of thing. And we have practices like how you go to bed and how you get up, and like your exercise, your diet, and like what you ingest, like all these different things to recalibrate themselves, and then to rebuild this new image that is customized to them, because everyone is unique. Everyone is different, and everyone is their own specific image of their own divine man. And so we help them to create that. And then over time, they begin to move into embodying that image of who they are.
Yeah. No, I love, oh God, that sounds really good. I love that. Yeah. A lot of us, what we do is we numb ourselves, right? So we numb ourselves with food or alcohol or drugs or sex or shopping or gambling, you know, because we can't get, we're too afraid to get in touch with, you know, our inner selves. And I think that's the only way through, and that's the only way to grow, is you have to go within, right? So you need to find somebody who can help guide you in that journey. That's my
and ideally
belief.
someone who's been lost. Oh,
right.
I've been lost. Oh my God. I spent a lot of time being lost. I got good in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a modern day shaman. So that's really about, like, you know, someone who sees in the dark. And I spent literally over 40 years being dark in my life, like being lost in the darkness of myself. And I got pretty good with that. So someone that's able to seek and rescue, like find out where you're lost within yourself, and then connect you with the spark that is you, your divine spark. Because once you start connecting, once you connect once with your divine spark, it's true, it's so powerful. Then it just becomes about doing the work to recalibrate your synapses, your mind, and habits and practices to really create the space so that spark can, like, keep on sparking and grow.
Yeah. Well, you can tell just from the way you talk about your work that you absolutely love it and you're very passionate about it.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, yeah, I can hear it in your voice just talking to you on the radio. It's great. I love that. So we only have a few minutes, but I didn't get to touch on, what is having an unconquerable love life look like? What is that?
Ooh, but I'm going to try to say this in short. My gosh. An unconquerable love life is when you can basically see someone from the top down and from the inside out, as opposed to seeing them from the outside in or from the bottom up. So you literally see them first for their spiritual divinity. And you fall in love with that, and you fall in love with their mind. And you start, and then you start to understand their emotions, and you start to actually understand and fall in love with their emotions. And then lastly, you fall in love with their physicality. Now, for all of that to happen, there has to be a certain space that's created as you start to come together and engage. And it's in this Western world, you know, we look at TV and it's wham, bam, thank you, man, constantly, right?
Right.
It's always that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really the flip side of that, because, you know, we go from A to Z. It's like, all right, cool, boom, I'm there. But there's B, there's C, there's D, there's E. There's so many gifts along the way. And when you start to see these gifts, there's so many spiritual gifts along the way before you get to the physical, before you get to the intimacy part, before you get to all that stuff. When you get assisted on actually how to allow these things to reveal themselves, there's so many blessings. You become so anchored and strong in what you have, then the physical part becomes like a icing on the cake, because you become so vibrant, and both of you together become just unconquerable and so connected. It's amazing.
That's lovely. That's great, right? Yeah, we usually do it the opposite, right? We meet somebody, there's an attraction, and we go right for it. And then we're all screwed up because we don't know how to deal with each other. And, you know.
Don't do that anymore, please.
Oh, I love that as a man you're saying that. Don't do that anymore. Yeah, that's really good. I think that that's really good stuff. All right, we have anything that you need to say that we didn't get to say before we wrap up?
You know, you are so beautiful. You're so elegant. You're so divine. Take the time. And I'm talking to you and the viewers. You all are. You all are so beautiful. Yeah, we all are. We are so beautiful, so divine. Start to understand that you are really a divine being. But it takes time and it takes going within to really see who you truly are. Because once you see who you truly are, you'll fall in love with you. And you'll know that, of course, once you have you, you have everything. So I love you. Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me. Bless you. Bless the viewers. And I love you so very much.